Welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. David McCaig here, the host of the Game Sports Podcast, powered by 91 Network. In this episode of the game, it is going to be a one-segment, commercial-free, full hour of football content with our In the Pocket segment featuring yours truly alongside EJ Russell and Justin Heichel. Getting into all reactions with week one on the gridiron and all the preview for week two in the NFL. And of course, I'm going to get a little bit conceited about my 15-1 pick'em week. Let's go. Booyah, and it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. This is your host, David McCaig Jr., and I am joined by two of the In the Pocket segment, the main hosts of the In the Pocket segment, going first to Justin Heichel. Justin, my friend, how are you doing?
Say his name and I appear. There it is. I stole that, and I had to get it in at least once this year, so... good to be back. We got a week NFL under our belts, and honestly, it was great. I mean, let's get into it here.
Love it. And now I'm going to go to someone who is the defending. I wanted to change the lineup for it. I wanted to say it different. Okay. The one,
it's a dynasty.
The dynasty. Thank you. EJ Russell. How's it going, EJ?
Yo, happy to be here as always, boys. Ready to talk some football. Don't know if I'm ready to talk about the Cleveland Browns, though. Holy shit.
Honestly, fellas, it's so great and refreshing to have football back. You know, Saturday last weekend, I was actually in Boyne, Michigan it was a friend's bachelor party. And I got there on the Saturday. They were already golfing, and I got to enjoy to watch Saturday college football. It was great. A lot of good surprise stories or surprise games in there, which was nice, especially if you're betting against those underdogs. Then, of course, you got
some... Or if you don't like Notre Dame.
Yikes. And then Sunday was obviously the NFL. But before that, you had Thursday was a great night. It was just a great weekend of football to be back at. But before we get into football, fellas, I want to make sure that I kind of get to two little housekeeping items that I was told to myself that I wanted to make sure I say. Number one, I'm wearing something called a Good Talk sweater. Now, there's a friend of the show. He's a singer here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. His name's Matthew James. He actually has a new album out put on Spotify, and it's called Good Talk. And he has a song that has over 50,000 streams on Spotify. So he's actually doing very good. I want to give him a little shout out because I shouldn't be wearing his merch unless I give him a little bit of a shout out, right? It wouldn't make any sense. And I thought I'd
tell him if he makes one in brown with orange lettering, I'll wear it on the podcast.
Love Send me that. Good talk, and I felt it made sense because guess what? We're talking. So I want to give love to Matt. He's actually the individual who at my wedding was played at the ceremony at my wedding, was the one playing the music when we came out down the aisle. It was all acoustic. It was very nice. So I like to give love to Matt. He's a great local artist. We love supporting local in terms of here on the show, of course. We talk national in its entirety, but we are definitely involved local. So I want to give love to that and check him out on Spotify. The second thing, I was really hoping to have this as a guest this week, but it didn't end up working out, conflicting schedules. Brad Jacobs, just a random point. Team Brad Jacobs is back. A friend of mine and obviously Olympic gold medalist is Brad Jacobs, and his team is back and 1 week away until their season is back. Friend of the show, friend of mine. He enjoys our show as well, and he's been on the show multiple times. Justin knows that. And Team Brad Jacobs is back, and I'm excited to see him back with his new team. It's a new team, don't get me wrong, but to see him back as a skip and running Team Brad Jacobs. So there's two little shout-outs I want to make sure that I did.
Serious like side note here, and this is, I'm going to be the guy that mentioned a totally different sport right off the hop. Why don't we curl?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that seems like a good fellas can stay hydrated while doing an activity.
Yeah, then you go for hydration.
It's like cornhole or bags, whatever you want to call it. Just like that, but on ice. It's a Canadian version.
Yeah, and you got sticks.
It's fun. And I guess there's an event happening here in Sault Ste. Marie where all the big dogs are coming down here. You know, I heard, I don't want to say what date it is and what the event is because I could be
there was one in town a few years ago before the big event where shut the planet down. Yeah. Where it was like a Pinty's curl off or whatever, and if you went down right on the ice level, they were giving out chicken wings the entire time. So obviously, I was down there for a little while. Got jammed up for a bit, but
get some sauce. Or were they plain wings?
No, they had little dipping sauces. Like it's the one that comes with the Pinty's ones, though. So it's not.
Yeah,
it's okay, no, but.
And speaking of wings, love to Sports Center Bar and Grill, original home of the Game Sports Podcast. Got to make sure we give them love. Obviously, we're not at Sports Center like we used to be back in 2016 for a few years. We've been in the office for almost a handful of years now since that thing shut down the world. We haven't been live on location in almost 4 years. So obviously the podcast changed, everything changed. So there's, I guess, three shout outs, but I want to make sure I give love to some local there and some friends of the show, friends of mine who are doing very good for themselves. Obviously two different sports, two different hobbies, whatever way you want to look at it. But much love to that. And I think it made sense to wear this today because we're talking, but we have football to talk about, fellas. And speaking of football, Justin, because it is on this topic, ran into to Tom Annett when I was out in the grocery store. Tom Annett is a local Sault Ste. Marie football coach for the Cora Colts, the dynasty that the Cora Colts have been. And he gave a lot of love to the show. And he said to say hi to everyone on the show, and he would like to come back on as well. So lots of love for the show today. A lot of different connections, a lot of people that tune in. So if you are listening and you aren't following, well, you should definitely do that, but I want to make sure I get all this out of the way first, because if I save it to the end, I'm probably going to end up forgetting. And ultimately, like you heard at the beginning, it is just a one segment, this entire episode today. We're going to be talking entirety of its football. I won't be getting into any baseball or to any hockey or wrestling or basketball. No other discussion. We are just going to devote our time today for football. So if you're looking for more content on the game, we will have more episodes upcoming. They'll get back to our routine of having all of that incorporated into an episode. So, fellas, football. Week one went, college went. EJ, if we have time, I'd love for you to get into some college near the end again, like we used to, like a 2-minute warning. I think that would be awesome. We'd try to do that if time permits, but we're going to stick to the NFL first. Week one has come and it has gone. And before you know it, the season's going to be midway through and so on. So we're enjoying it. And I said this at the beginning of the show last week, and I'm going to say it again. Football, I love the separation from the end of the season until when it starts. Love it. I know there's things in between. You got the draft, you got free agency, you got things, but it's so separated and so well put together. It gets you so excited for a season. If you think of other sports, hockey is one of them. It feels like it just ended and right around the corner, it's going to be back, right? So EJ, we didn't get into this too much detail, but I'm going to go around the horn. And if we have discussed in a little bit of detail last week, that's great. We're going to go into it a little bit more here. But what separates football to create that excitement, EJ, going into getting you set for the season? It's like you week one comes and you're like, I need to. You're so excited to watch. Not saying you wouldn't be excited to watch other sports, but football does something different. I think they do it so well with the difference of the end of the season to when it starts.
I think that's because there's just such a finality to it. You know, you only get 17 opportunities to win football games. And outside of those 17 weeks, you have to do everything in your power to try to improve your team. Look at a team like the Chicago Bears, right? Caleb Williams becomes the first rookie quarterback to win in this league in his first performance since 2002. And that guy's name was Derek Carr, I believe. For the Houston Texans.
David Carr?
David Carr, excuse me. Derek Carr is the brother.
The other one.
The original Carr. But he's the last quarterback to win his starting performance, and that was in 2002. And what I'm getting at here is the Bears were a dumpster fire last year. I mean, absolutely terrible football team that found a way to win, what, 4 or 5 games in fluky ways. But, you know, they come out, they were down 17-0 at halftime, come back to win that football game. And that's the start of their new journey with this new quarterback. But what did they have to do? They had to go out and add Keenan Allen. They had to get Caleb Williams. They had to sign these other players in order to get themselves to this place where they could win week one in a comeback fashion in the way that they did. So, you know, you look at teams like the Houston Texans. They went out and added Joe Mixon, Stephon Gibbs. And what did they come out and do week one? Exactly what a lot of people thought they were going to do. So the reason I think, Dave, that football is so exciting and why it draws that attention is you got 7 seconds on every play to make something happen. And after that 7 seconds is over, on to the next play, and you can't think about what happened in the past. You can think about plays that worked and things like that, but you just have to keep going forward. As a famous saying in football, next man up. It's the next play up, next man up, next quarter up, next game up. So once one's over, you're on to the next one. In the famous words of Bill Belichick, we're on to Cincinnati, right? On to the next task, on to the next mission. And once it's over, it's final. It's a final score. It even says final right on it, and you're off to the next one. And again, you only get so many opportunities in this league to get a victory. Every single moment counts.
I love that answer. Justin, what do you got to add to that?
Well, I mean, it's even like some of these guys, like you come out of college, like if you lose in college in some programs week one, you're pooched. Your year's over. Yeah. Like that's okay. At least in the NFL, you have a chance to work. You can grow, like you can build on your, like week one, you lose in week one, it's not over. You lose, like it's, but the NFL, there's a chance to grow. And I think that's where, when you have that like stopgap at the end of the season, where like in a situation like I was last year, like the Colts finished, like that game against Houston, to leave the season on that, you're hungry for a lot more of that for 6 months. And then you have the draft and you sprinkle in like that talent that you see, that you watch throughout the college playoffs for the most part. And you're seeing which teams those guys are going to. And you're wondering the entire summer, well, how are these guys going to, you know, fit in on the like the NFL does it right in terms of like their media presence, where they just kind of go away and then they come back a little bit and then they go away. And then once training camp opens, like everyone's buzzing. And then by the time season opens up a month later.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they got to do something to give the Giants fans a little bit of. It's not like the team does anything during the season, so give them hard.
Well, that's why there's fantasy football, which is another reason why people love football.
Why is fantasy football almost so much cooler than any other sports, like or sports fantasies as well? Like, you know,
I think that goes back to what I was saying earlier. You only have a handful of games, right? Your fantasy score runs through the week, and each player plays one game. It's not like fantasy baseball where you got to look and see who's up in the starting pitcher rotation and change your lineup daily and move this. There's so much more complexity to it that I think anybody feels like they can learn how to play fantasy football.
Well, yeah, I got cooked in two leagues this week because McCaffrey didn't play Monday night.
That was wasn't like a known thing too. It's just one of those things that happened. Well, like
they were saying all weekend he may not and whatever. But honestly,
well, and what's his face? Mason said he found out what Friday.
Yeah, that
days
was
in
little,
advance.
That was a little salt in the wound there, but whatever. I mean,
yeah. But I just want to add this: hike. I didn't get cooked in my league. I just finished with the most points out of anybody. Just throwing it out there. The other league I got cooked in though.
You know, honestly, fellas, I missed, like, last year we had a fantasy league. It was I believe it was majority of us from the show. I don't think EJ was on it, but it's...
Nope, no one invited me because y'all wanted someone else to win something.
Yeah, well, you know what? You have to have a chance. And Pat beat me in the finals. I remember that. But then we didn't resume the league this year, and I ended up not joining another league. So I'm actually not in one this year. And I'm not going to join... I don't know if I'm going to join the hockey one again. Honestly, I just feel like I like... just talking sports and doing this, as weird as that sound, but I like doing a year on, year off. I'm starting to like,
you got to do fantasy so you stay in touch. You can hate certain players a lot better if they're under your microscope all season.
Well, and here's the other thing too, and I'll admit this for myself, fantasy football is what started to get me more intricately involved with the ins and outs of teams and players and what are they doing and what's the dynamic. You know, I in a way, I could say fantasy football drove me into doing this kind of talk, because you learn about guys, you learn where they're from. They watch the draft, you get more involved in college football. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, all these guys' history and then you make jokes like Will Levi's 501s. It just, you get involved. It becomes more of an event for everyone. And then the average fan can feel like they're so intelligent when they play fantasy football, and now they're more involved in the league. You know, football is for everyone. I love it, and I think it's a great way to stay involved with the game as a fan. Players shouldn't do it.
It is. You know what? We're going to do a blind ranking near the end, but call me – this person won't be in the blind ranking, so I'm going to mention this. Brock Purdy, I was looking at a very well – I don't really want to throw them. I'm not going to give any free ads here. I'm not going to say it, but it's a well-known site to get your information. They rated – Brock Purdy as the 13th ranked quarterback in the league. And some players
that they're dumb.
Here's some players ahead of them.
It's week one, Dave. Everyone can get better.
No, I mean as talent in general. They put Matthew Stafford ahead of Brock Purdy, which
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you're fine with that?
Yeah. Hold on. Warren Moon has a gold jacket. Matthew Stafford has better statistics than Warren Moon in almost everything, so I'm fine with it.
The next, Aaron Rodgers is ahead of. Is he still ahead of Brock Purdy? I guess, Lamar Jackson, and yeah, he is. 100% he is. Jordan Love, is he ahead of Brock Purdy?
No.
No, okay.
You got to give Brock Purdy the upper hand just based on the amount of film and wins.
Yeah.
Okay. CJ Stroud is also listed ahead of him.
Okay. I'm not against that. CJ Stroud put together a hell of a rookie campaign. Depending how he does this year, then that ranking will change.
With the pressure of being an Ohio State quarterback and doing that in your first year, I think he's okay.
We all know how I feel about Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL draft.
The last ranked quarterback on that list is the Jarrett Stidham and Bo Nix tandem in Denver.
Be Deshaun Watson, that piece of shit.
But that's a side thing. Sorry, fellas. I got a little sidetracked there. I saw that as I was prepping
for the blind. You still have Joe Flacco, right? Oh, you don't. I forgot. Someone else has him.
I'm going to pick the Colts every week until they just lose all 16 games. That's what I'm going to do. Just to screw with you, Hike, I'm taking the Colts every week. I'm going to go change my picks right now.
So this past week that went by, fellas, there's a lot of storylines, but the first thing we can get into before we get into what we'd liked for storyline, let's think about what we do, a thumbs up and a thumbs down to stay first. And I wanted to start with my thumbs up and thumbs down because I think it's very obvious where a thumbs up should be. Early MVP favorite Chris Boswell getting all the points for the Pittsburgh Steelers as you sit there and annoy every Atlanta Falcons fan and every football fan on a team that can't get a touchdown. It's okay. Give it to Boswell. 58 yards out. We'll win the game and the defense can win a game. The definition of the Steelers winning Steeler now football when their defense is gross. And on offense, they have one solid receiver, and their quarterback's just getting used to everything. But you know what? I think Justin Fields fit in nice. But overall, Chris Boswell is my thumbs up. Isn't that guy got a leg on him? What a week. If you had him in fantasy, he got you more than a couple 2-3 points. That's for sure. And I think the thumbs down for me this week, and EJ, I'm sorry, but it's got to be the Cowboys-Browns game in general. I think that game, like I remember saying, you can look back at the clips, viewers, listeners, that I said the game of the week for me was the Cowboys and the Browns. I was excited to see that, you know, Watson, Prescott, and just that game. I think the pound, I thought it was going to be just booming, and it was the beginning of the game. And that game it didn't live up to that hype for me. And even the San Francisco and the Jets game wasn't that entertaining Monday, but I loved watching it. But both games, I would have to say, are thumbs down for entertainment. So overall, though, the game of the week, in my opinion, which isn't technically listed as game of the week, but Cowboys and Browns, I think that game was a letdown. So I think that was the thumbs down for me. Justin, thumbs up, thumbs down for this past week in football?
Thumbs up to the Lions fans for surviving the cardiac cats on Sunday night there. I mean, that was a hell of a game. That is going to be a fun team to watch this year.
Sure is.
St. Brown didn't really get involved into the game too much. So, you know, that's obviously, we're going to see that get better as the season goes along. Sam Laporta's a horse. I mean, the stuff that guy does, that was... So thumbs up to the Lions. I think the hype train so far is living up to expectations. My thumbs down, the refs in the Colts-Houston game, because if we're making all these stupid rules to protect the players, and then you're still allowed to go out there and suplex the quarterback over and over again, I mean, honestly, that's if they would have done that to Patrick Mahomes, the ref would have came down on a drone, dropped from the sky, and would have had to take the player out of the game for that kind of abuse. Being dramatic, obviously, I think we got to protect the young quarterbacks. That's all.
Yeah, and Jordan Love. I'm surprised I didn't use that as a thumbs down. That sucks for Green Bay. EJ.
Thumbs up for the week. I got to give it to Saquon Barkley. Hell of a week one performance playing for a division rival. Oh, yeah. Three total touchdowns in his opening game of the year. I think that the Eagles offense surprised me with how they won that football game. Not that they won the football game, but how they won that football game. So I want to give Saquon Barkley my thumbs up for the week. Hell of an effort. Again, three total touchdowns. The Giants right now, as lost as they are, boy, do they probably feel stupid for losing them to the Eagles right now. I mean, they probably feel stupid for a multitude of different reasons, but I don't think anybody in the world should feel more stupid than Deshaun Watson, who is my thumbs down for the week. Oof. You know, you look at the statistics for the game, and excuse me for looking down here for a second. 265 total yards to 230. That's pretty much a wash. First downs, 15 apiece. Overall time of possession, Cleveland, 30 minutes, 54 seconds. The Cowboys, 29:06. A lot of even there. Yep. But where does the game stand out? It's those two turnovers that Deshaun Watson committed, those two interceptions that he threw. I mean, he only threw for 10 less yards than Dak Prescott, the most expensive quarterback in the NFL, the second most expensive quarterback in the NFL. Looks lost. He looks confused. He doesn't seem that he can operate Kevin Stefanski's system. You know, I didn't think that week one I'd be about as ready as I am to jump ship on Deshaun Watson. You know, people have asked me privately and even on here. I said, if he wins games this year, all will be forgiven, because in Cleveland, the expectation, the desire to win is so high, especially with this team and this roster, right? This is a defense that 1 year ago was number one team in the league. Why are we putting the ball into Deshaun Watson's hands 45 times when he clearly does not look comfortable? He was sacked six times in that game. Micah Parsons was having an absolute field day with the Cleveland Browns offensive line. And I just believe that Deshaun Watson has lost the respect and confidence of his teammates. I think it was Joel Bitonio. One of my colleagues pointed this out to me, and I went back and I watched it. Joel Bitonio got knocked down on a play, and Deshaun Watson went to give him his hand to help him up, and he swiped away his hand. He didn't even want his help. So, I mean, when arguably the best offensive lineman on the team is you know, swiping your hand away, telling you to go fuck yourself on a play, I think that there's a problem here. I think that it is almost, if not already, time to push the panic button and figure out, is Jameis Winston who we need to bring in? Is there somebody that you can sign, you know, an experienced quarterback? Obviously, you can't get a Joe Flacco because he's sitting there in a Colts uniform. But, you know, is there somebody that you can go and grab that can maybe make a difference on this team and run the offense a little bit simpler? You know, throwing the ball 45 times is not the recipe for success in Cleveland. What did we do well last year? I say we as I'm on the team, but what did the Cleveland Browns do well last year? Run the football, even with Jerome Ford after Nick Chubb's exit. And this is an offensive line that is still talented enough to get that done. Sure, there were a few pieces unhealthy, but Deshaun Watson, you have no excuses. You've had 3 years to get ready. You knocked the rust off last year, and you still look like a rusted out piece of shit. So, figure it out. Yeah, I'm being hard on him right now because he deserves every bit of that. When you make that much guaranteed money in this league, you are expected to perform. And if you don't, you deserve all of the repercussions that come your way. That on top of the fact that another lawsuit's come out against him and he was aware of this months ago and they could have resolved this privately. It's just, for the love of God. And then I hope that the Browns fire him and he has to pay back every frickin' dollar that he stole from that team for violating the contract that he signed. He said he wasn't going to get in any more trouble. Now all of a sudden he's getting more trouble. I want repayment of the money. The team's got to find some way to get out from underneath him, because this is about as much of a dumpster fire as the whole team in Carolina right now.
I mean, it's really, it's honestly, it's unfortunate for the Browns and Browns fans.
Well, I'm pissed. It's bullshit. Like we spent all this money. Good. We were a quarterback away, and everyone else is good, and you can't figure it out. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No, I sympathized with you. Like, the quarterback thing is, it's fucking frustrating. Like, you get a guy who's really was an MVP caliber at some point, and he just can't not fuck around.
Here, I'll give you a quick view inside Deshaun Watson's mind, Hike, and then I'll let you.
Well, And if you're wondering what EJ did, as the audio listeners, he just turned off his camera. That is what EJ did in representation for that. If you're on video, you got to experience that. And you're probably wondering if he glitched. No glitch.
No, I didn't glitch. I turned it off because there's nothing going on inside his head.
That was perfect. Perfect timing.
Well done. Now, this, I think that you can take away a lot from this week and have a lot of discussion about it. I really do. But you know, there's when it started on all on Thursday, right, with the Chiefs, which the Ravens Chiefs game was great. It was a great.
What an opener. Great opener.
It was a fantastic opener, right? And then obviously the Brazil game on Friday.
What was it, those illegal Friday formations, though, in that Chiefs?
There were, what was it, all of week one last year, there were only 10 illegal formations called. In all of week one this year, I think there were over 30 illegal formation penalties called. Almost, yeah,
I couldn't figure some of them.
It's insane.
I like that new kickoff rule where if you get it in, you got to run it.
You're the only one.
I know. But then you got guys like Boswell or the guys that kick it out anyways, and it's just a touchback anyways. It's like they don't even want them to.
As a football rules traditionalist, I am disgusted.
Oh.
Your Devin Hesters, your Josh Cribbses, your Darren Sproles, those kick returners, they don't matter anymore.
The year you put Devin Hester in the Hall of Fame, you do this.
That's sad timing.
Tell us how you feel, Justin.
Special teams don't really get a lot of love at all. And then, it's honestly one of the most exciting parts of the game. You can change the game on an absolute fucking whim. We talk about story. We tell fairy tales about football games where things have gone crazy on a special teams play.
The New Orleans Saints, the year they won the Super Bowl, the surprise onside kick. Are you going to get that anymore?
Now you have to put your hand up like you're in grade fucking two and tell the planet, hey, I would like to make an onside kick and surprise you. What?
Oh, by the way, Hike, we're throwing you a surprise birthday party next week.
Perfect.
We'll be there. We'll be in your garage. We'll eat all your food.
I don't understand, why. Okay, if you're going to change the kickoff, why? But then the onside kick thing, you can't make an onside kick until the fourth quarter? Or is it after half? Either or, it's stupid.
One to me, the onside kick things bugs me the most because, you know, think about that Super Bowl that the New Orleans Saints won. And what was that, 2010, 2011? It never would have happened. You imagine the difference in that game if Sean, what's his face, comes out there at the halftime and goes, hey, we're going to onside kick it, but nobody know it.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that. I agree with you there. It takes away the strategy of it. That's my issue with the new kickoff.
It's just like you're banning a play. Really? You're taking a play out of.
See, truly, I thought there'd be more runs.
Well, they've tried to take a lot of plays out of the game. You're barely allowed to tackle anymore.
Well, I know. Has anyone seen the Sarcastaball episode of South Park? If you haven't, it's basically where we're at in the NFL right now.
I now want to watch it.
They just start making up rules on a whim to try to help, the Denver Broncos win.
Oh, Denver. Nothing's worse than Carolina.
I thought that was just the way that the NFL operates.
There's nothing worse than Carolina, though, boys. I'm serious.
They got a golf swing.
They need any rules that they can get to change. They suck. I'm sorry. They are a complete ass.
I honestly, though, I want to see the Carolina Panthers play a CFL team.
No, that's the most ridiculous thing ever. See, here's the one thing that you gentlemen don't understand clearly by that comment. The worst player on an NFL team is still going to be the best player on any other team in the planet.
I totally understand. I just want to see that these guys are still. Maybe there's guys in the UFL that aren't getting a chance because these guys are just holding up contract spots.
They're not
Here's the worst part about these Panthers too is they're going to come out and they're going to surprise somebody. They're going to end up getting 2 or 3 wins this year, and they're just going to ruin your week.
They're going to fuck someone in the survivor pool.
I hope they screw Dave over every time they get a win, because holy cow, he had a week one.
Did I ever?
No, that was like, yeah, that's kind of annoying. Let's talk about that. Let's.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to say?
Yeah, you're 15 points in week one somehow.
I will never financially recover from this.
No, neither of us will.
This honestly, Dave, a 15-1, no one's ever had a perfect week on the show. 15-1, I think's the record. I think that's the highest weekly total on. I've never done that. I've got lots of 14s and 2s, 13s and 3s, but never a 15-1.
And you know what game screwed me? Do you know what game screwed me? Bengals-Patriots.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
That's
killed
a
everyone.
Joke. But that was a joke.
It's not
man.
A joke. That's a coaching clinic 101. The Patriots played great defense in that game. Let's please not take anything away from the New England Patriots.
They did
everything that they needed. No, they played great defense. They forced multiple turnovers. They got defensive touchdowns. You got to give the Patriots credit for the way they won that football game.
The Patriots coaches knew what their strengths were, and they deployed that the entire game. We talked about if you go back,
they
and
played Patriot
the show
ball.
Last week. We talked about it. We said that the Patriots are going to surprise some teams.
And they honestly
we
just
didn't listen to ourselves.
Perfect week was shot because of the stupid Patriots. Damn.
Yeah, Patriots. Story of my life.
Story.
Stupid
yep.
Patriots.
I may never say this again, but I'm a Patriots fan right now just because they screwed you out of 16-0.
Oh, that would have been legendary. 15-1 week. Thank you for announcing that, fellas. It was. I looked at the score. I was like, holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. This is happening. I should have went.
Oh, believe me, I said the same. I thought it was a glitch. I thought there was like something wrong with the system. I was like, there's no way Dave's got 15 in picks right. There's not a chance. Then I went through and I listened. I was like, God damn it, he did. And I will be clear, by the way, I did pick the Bears to win their game against the Titans. I must admit, I almost had to call you guys and take my pick away and say I didn't think he was going to do it because of the 0-14-1 or whatever, but I rode with him. I got my win on the Bears. I'll take that.
Oh, that's funny. So that's a good segue. So if you, I think that's a good little segue into the pick'em for this week. And then if you have nothing else further to discuss on week one, is there any news that you want to get further into week one before we jump into a pick'em? EJ, Justin, any final points?
The only point I have is fuck you, Deshaun Watson.
Well, I love it. This guy's angry. Fair. It's certainly fair. Yep. Browns had
neither Dak nor Deshaun played great, but out of the two of them, Dak was acceptable and Deshaun was trash.
I feel bad if you're Browns line, like you just want that success for them, even if you're in the same division, because you guys have been through so much shit. Like I can't even understand.
Just another day as a Browns fan.
Justin, why don't you lead us into our ever-known pick'em and kind of give everyone a little recap again and the names. I love when you do all that. Give the full recap. I can only enjoy this.
All right. So we got week one. You got a pretty solid name going this year, Dave. We got Kegger's Gridiron Picks leading the way with 15 points and one loss this week. I'm not giving the losses every week, but that's a pretty good pull for you, so we're going to. We'll let
Thank
you celebrate
you.
It.
Appreciate that.
And then the Browns is the Browns, and Hike's picks are tied here with 11 wins each.
Boys, that's also
by the way,
oh,
I
that
was
is
just,
a good week.
I'll finish in between 60% and 70% by the end of the year. 70 is kind of right around where I hover usually on this show. Yeah. But I would like to also admit this: Kegger's Gridiron Picks, B-, C+. Browns is the Browns, A- name because it's a nod to the Steelers in a way. Hike, you are an F every year. You don't even change your name. Just Hike's Picks. You don't even put an apostrophe. There's not even an apostrophe.
No, there's not even an apostrophe in it.
He can't even use proper, punctuation.
I saw it. Right. You almost did that one there, and you weren't wrong either. So
I mean, this isn't an English class, but Jesus, give it a little effort, kid.
Oh, you made that laugh. It made me snort. On
honestly, the one like the pick I'm the most mad about last week is like, why did I pick the Raiders?
Yeah, that's silly.
That's the only one I'm looking at, and I'm really upset about it. Like Cleveland, I thought their defense was going to pull it through. Tennessee looked fine until halftime, and then they should have just punted it the rest of the game, as per their coach.
They must have been wearing a different pair of Levi's. Not the 501s, clearly.
Did you guys hear that?
Saw it in the clip.
The Levi's 501s, that was a good one. I think that might have been Hike's video actually had the most streams and interaction was Hike's.
I'll take it.
Too bad the 15-1. People should have listened. I think mine had the least. So screw everybody.
Well, yeah, you lose every year.
Screw everybody for, you know, not believing in Kager's gridiron picks.
Yeah, how about that? He goes 15-1 and nobody listens to his picks.
Yeah, now everyone's going to listen this week and he's going to have a lineup of people at his house on Sunday night. Like, hey.
2-14.
You know what? I'll tell you this. If he goes 16-0, I'll tweet out his exact address.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you can do that. That's fine. You know, it's Sault Ste. Marie. I feel safe.
Yeah, the Google Earth car drove by my house while I was standing in the driveway this week. So now I keep going refreshing to see if the picture has just me standing there.
Wait. No, what you gotta do is you gotta wait till they're coming by and like stand backwards in a Colts jersey and then just have like the name tape says this team sucks or something funny.
No,
just something ridiculous.
I don't live in Cleveland.
Or what is it in the league? What was it? Rodney Ruxin put a swastika in front of his driveway so that the city would come fill a pothole, and then that ended up on Google Earth.
Oh God!
Don't do that.
No, don't do that. So here's what I'll do. The person's middle name. Do you guys both have middle names? Yeah. I ask this? Okay, good. EJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's E and J. J stands.
Okay, the middle name that is closest to A goes first.
Well, I'm pretty sure we know what mine starts with.
And mine starts with A, so we're...
It starts with A? Okay, so you're going first. All right, so Heike is going to kick us off with week two pick'em of the 2024-2025 season here on the
game. All right, these are some 16-0 picks here, guaranteed. If not, Dave will pay you back for your bets.
Yikes.
A lot of road dogs this week. Miami over Buffalo, Dallas over the Saints, Detroit over Tampa, Colts over Green Bay, Tennessee over the Jets, San Fran over Minnesota, Patriots over Seattle, Washington over the Giants, Chargers over Carolina, I hope, Cleveland over Jacksonville, Baltimore over Vegas, Rams over Arizona, Pittsburgh over Denver. I was really hoping Russ was going to play in that game to see how Denver played. KC over Cincinnati, Houston over Chicago, Philly over Atlanta. For tiebreakers, I got Philly 28, Atlanta 18, Houston 44, Chicago 28. Most points this week, KC. Fewest points this week, Carolina, obviously.
I think it's going to be unobvious to that. Okay, EJ.
So, I'm going to be real honest here, taking a lot of safe picks here. I'm going to take the Dolphins at home over the Bills. That game Thursday, 8:15. Then Sunday, 1 p.m., I got the Cowboys over the Saints at home. Lions win at home versus the Buccaneers. However, I will say that is my underdog pick of the week. I think that the Buccaneers have enough skill, especially the way that Baker Mayfield played in week one. There's another thumbs up there. 4 total touchdowns from the former Cleveland Brown. That's definitely a game where I can see the Lions getting upset, but I still take the Lions at home. Colts over the Packers. I think if Jordan Love's playing, I take this the other way, but give me the Colts on the road. Mm-hmm. Jets over the Titans. I think that they're going to get better in week two. Niners over the Vikings on the road. Seahawks over the Patriots on the road. Giants are going to lose to the Washington Commanders. Giants, like I said, just like their Montreal Canadiens-esque uniforms, they are a dumpster fire. Those jerseys were awful, by the way.
So bad. Thumbs down. Another thumbs down.
Yeah, thumbs down to those jerseys. And the brown pants. It looks stupid. Give me the Chargers over the Panthers. Put an asterisk on that game for later. I'm taking the Jaguars over the Browns until Deshaun Watson figures it out. I'm not picking the Browns to do anything this year. Ravens over the Raiders at home. Rams win against the Cardinals on the road. That's another one I think that could be an upset special. If Kyler Murray plays similarly to what he did in week one and Marvin Harrison Jr., get some touches and has a good game, I think that that can be significant to them winning at home. But I'll take the Rams on the road right now. Steelers over the Broncos. I don't care which quarterback's playing. As long as they got a kicker, they'll win. Chiefs over the Bengals. Texans over the Bears. Eagles over the Falcons for tiebreakers. Falcons 14, Eagles 27. Bears 10, Texans 34. Most points this week, the Chargers. Least points, Panthers.
Oh my God, EJ. I may as well not even say my picks, dude.
They're the same?
identical. Dolphins, Cowboys, Lions, Colts, Jets, Niners, Seahawks, Commanders, Chargers, Jags, Ravens, Rams, Steelers, the Fields, and Boswell kicking machine. MVP, baby. Chiefs, Texans, Eagles. The score, 28-21, Eagles. Texans, 34-16 over the Bears. Most points, Chargers. Least points, Panthers.
Okay, hold on. I'm contemplating switching a pick now. If they're the exact same, I can't game.
It's not fun, but I swear it's...
I'll be honest, though. This week when you look at it, like... I mean, let's legitimately look at these matchups. Bills over the Dolphins, you could maybe switch that. Other than that, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Jets, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Commanders, the Chargers, the Jags, the Ravens, the Rams, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Texans, they're all huge favorites. So I think it's going to be a boring week of football, but it could be a real exciting week of fantasy.
It's a bye week.
I don't think the Jets are going to do it. I don't know. I think Tennessee is going to be 16-0
this week.
You don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to continue to get better as this season goes on?
I think he will.
And he still has Garrett Wilson there on the outside.
I think it's going to happen in week two. I think Tennessee's more mad about that loss than the Jets are mad about their loss.
By the way, has anyone else noticed that Garrett Wilson and a few other players on the Jets are wearing the loose quarterback sleeves instead of the tight stuff? Anybody else notice that? There's a bunch of guys on the Jets I noticed wearing those long, like, think of you going to the store and buying a jersey, right? How it's loose on the sleeves and it's not scrunched up and tight on the shoulders.
Yeah, that's,
typically,
that's
you see just... those skilled players wearing those tight shoulders. I think they're all – Rodgers is doing it. Well, Rodgers has always done it. But Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, number four on their defense, and I think Sauce Gardner, they all had the long sleeves rolling.
That's an old-timey thing, though. They want people – you got to have that little dangle. Guys get their hands caught up in there when their hands shouldn't be places they are.
Shouldn't be places where they are.
Well, and when you're wearing white jerseys like they are.
Yeah, they're letting their dangle dangle. Let the dangle dangle. Go get them.
They're just a little gamesmanship, I think.
Hey, whatever. Whatever works.
You know, at one point that I'll bring up, a little clap to this as you brought up, Justin, the refereeing this past week. Okay, I hope that improves going into this week. It just doesn't. There was a lot of interference and a lot of.
Listen, if you're going to blame officials for wins and losses, your team needs to play better football.
Oh, I'm not blaming anyone for a win or a loss. I'm just saying if they're changing all these rules to protect players, protect the fuck players.
Yeah, it sucks about Love though, right? Like that sucks for like if you're a Green Bay fan, you're rattled. If you're a Lions fan, you're like,
it's shitty. I mean, like, what do you?
It wasn't
a nothing game, so he did have to be on the field. But after an hour or gameplay, 3 hours, 4 hours of field time on a soccer field, it's just not going to hold up.
Yeah, that's the other thing is the field is in question too, right? There's been a lot of complaints from the players about the
Brazil isn't putting an NFL field.
Did you hear that they're doing NFL 2030? They're going to play a game in Iraq.
Okay.
That's a joke. They're just putting these games in dumb places.
Oh, okay. I thought
that Germany game, though.
Dave thought I was serious for a minute.
I'm making sure.
we had that moment this week at work where we're looking at the schedule and we're like, oh, Germany gets the Panthers and the Giants, and the one guy's like, well, what did Germany ever do to the world to deserve that? And everyone's like,
I saw that meme too.
Like, yeah, what do you mean?
We know why they deserve it.
Yeah,
the Panthers.
That's going to be the week they win, where all the Jaguars fans go to Germany. They're going to have a great weekend. We're going to enjoy Germany. We're going to watch our team win. And then Carolina's going to go out there and tag
them. The Panthers are not winning more games this year. They might win only one this year. I think they're that bad. The Patriots, I said,
I don't know, man.
It's just beat the freaking Bengals.
It's really hard to lose everything. Yeah.
Well, and
even if you suck that bad?
Yeah, but here's the thing, too, and especially in that NFC South is, you know, during the time when Drew Brees was the quarterback for the Saints, he never won two consecutive division titles. There's just so much parity in this league and changeover game after game, year after year. It's just difficult to lose one or even two games. You tend to win just one or two games. You tend to win a few more.
We can all agree that they're probably the worst team in the league, but even the worst team in the league sometimes wins 5-6 games.
If they win more than three, I might just videotape.
I'd say three is the ceiling.
Yeah, 100%. I wouldn't go higher than three. I would not be, no matter what the plus was on four.
Well,
I'm not going there.
So. Is there a if way they bring Luke, if they magically somehow brought Luke Kuechly back, then sure, four wins, but that ain't happening.
I just might be the
like
one to say they're
early
not
career
win
Cam
season.
Newton.
I almost feel like I want to say they're not going to win all season, but I need to look at confirm their schedule before I say that. Like,
only two teams in history have ever done it.
Their running backs are too good for them not to at least get yards in a game. Like, Bryce Young at some point has to figure it out. Like, he's not terrible.
Well, and every other Alabama quarterback has been quite successful. I don't think this is a forever for him.
He'll figure it out. He just doesn't. It's, yeah, I don't know. They have a golf simulator.
Come on, they can. Viewers, listeners, comment below what you think about the Panthers, over two or under two. I'm going to say under, screw it. I just feel like it. Now, blind ranking. Blind rankings before we wrap up the show. Save it for last. So the blind ranking test, didn't have time to send each person, that being Justin and EJ, the question that I'm going to ask the opposite person so they know what I'm
saying. And if you had, I still wouldn't have read it.
Terrific. Yes. Go visit EJ at Riverside. Say it for me, EJ.
If you need a car, Riverside Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Escanaba, 906-217-2705. Call or text. Gets you right through to this bad boy.
Love it.
The bat phone.
Thank you for saying it because I would have butchered it. I'm going to do a blind ranking. Everyone knows what blind ranking is. If you've especially been a viewer and a listener of the game, we do it for with Alex for hockey. We've done it for Connor for baseball. And I'm going to introduce it over here to football. So this is the first week and first time we're officially doing it. I am going to keep it more simplified as the year goes on. Each week when we do our segment, we'll have our pick 'em, and then when we end the show, we'll have our blind ranking before we wrap up that segment or episode, whatever, which way it is. So the blind ranking, does everyone have an understanding about how it is? Good.
You so say stuff, we don't know where it's going to go, and we have to rank them. Got it.
Exactly. I'm going to give you five names, and you just got to think where they're going to go, and if you get it wrong, your order, too bad, so sad. Okay, so the first thing, I'm actually going to go to EJ for coaches. Active coaches. Five.
Okay, now hold on. I want to be clear before these come out.
Yeah.
Am I taking them this year, or am I taking them based off of their entirety of their career?
You're starting a new team in Toronto, Canada for football, and you got to take one of these
coaches. I'm
definitely
not doing that. Then I'm not. Then I'm out.
that definitely does not sound like something I'd do.
No, I wouldn't do that.
It's like a now, but it's also who you would build your team around.
How about this? We're starting a football in Sioux, Michigan. We're starting a new NFL team.
Sir, perfect. And they're playing right out of they're breaking down the roof at the Polar, and they're making a football stadium.
It's a dome.
It's a dome at the Polar. That's great. Okay, so we're going to get into the five coaches, rating them from 1 to 5. The first coach, Mike McCarthy.
4. He's every time you give him gold, he just seems to not be able to. He can find the gold and he can see that it's in the pan, but then he takes the pan and he throws it back in the river.
So 4, Mike McCarthy. Number next coach coming up, Doug Peterson.
I love him. I'll put him 3. You know, he's a quarterback whisperer. You know, the amount of gonads that he showed to call the Philly special with Nick Foles in their time in Philadelphia. I thought he did a great job in Philly. I think he's doing an excellent job in Jacksonville, and I like the guy. I'll give him 3.
Next one, Sean McVay.
It's real hard not to put him at 1 because of his ability to recall plays just based upon memory. He's definitely not 5, so the question is 2. Or yeah, I'll go 1 right here. I think he's one of the most brilliant minds in the NFL. You know, unless the next two guys that you mentioned are Mike Tomlin, I don't really think there's anybody else that I'd put in front of him. Just based on his brain. Maybe Kyle Shanahan, but I'll go 1 for now.
I wasn't going to go with obvious ones, so that'll help you feel a little bit better.
So no Tomlin.
Next one, Dan Campbell.
Right there, I'll put him at 2. I think that's a really appropriate spot in his short time in Detroit. He's made, you know, quite the difference on that team. It is a new identity. They're grittier. The way that they play is aggressive. It's up in your face. It's non-apologetic. I love the way that they're playing football right now. I'll take Dan Campbell too, comfortably.
Last but not least, John Harbaugh.
Perfect. Last. Fuck that guy.
So you got
and the Ravens.
You got.
Well, hold on. I'm being clear. Harbaugh deserves to be higher up on this list. I think that he's definitely a better coach than Doug Peterson, but because he's a Ravens coach and there's nowhere else to put him, I'm fine putting him at five.
Gotta love how I said Pedersen, right? What the heck is with my playing hockey here? So number one, you had Sean
McVay. Oh, there it is. There's the hockey reference here.
Sean McVay, one. You had two, Dan Campbell. Number three, you had Peterson. Number four, you had McCarthy. And number five, John Harbaugh. So there's your first.
I'm even fine if it's Jim Harbaugh at five.
Not bad.
In fairness, I think EJ had the first hockey reference with the Habs jerseys that the Giants
wore. Ooh!
Shit. Maybe right. I have to yell myself today.
I'm not picking sides here, but I didn't want to call it out when he did it.
So. There's your clip for TikTok right there. Is Hike calling me out for getting it wrong?
It's already marked. Clip created for marker.
I was going to let it slide, but then we came back to it.
So wait, but does it count that Dave brought up the hockey podcast earlier? We'll vote later. Fans, you can decide.
I mean, in fairness, I'm the dick wearing a Leafs hat because I forgot my hat out in the garage. So, and this is the one I had in the office. This one's hidden from the public.
At least I don't have any. At least
I don't. How we know why?
I can't wear that. Or I eat too many chicken wings. Wear a white.
You shouldn't.
Hat.
I'm actually crazy.
Underneath, like, look at that. Why is that white? What? Why is that part of the hat white?
So that you can look up into the brim of your hat and think of looking down at the ice in misery.
Yeah, I look up and go, ah, Forty Creek, fuck.
Quarterbacks, Justin, you're up. Active. They're active quarterbacks. You're going to get names and you're just going to rate, man. And it makes sense because what did we talk about besides the intro where I promoted a few people local? We talked about quarterbacks. So good way to end it as we go. So I'm going to give you the five names, and you get to rate them. Here you go. First,
hold on a second. Is Deshaun Watson's name on this list? Because if it is, put him at five.
I'm waiting.
Put him at five.
He might be. He might not be after this episode, but nah, you'll have to see. So first, Baker Mayfield.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
I like to make it tough. I'll be typing your responses as I go.
Four?
Okay.
Four. Based four. On growth in the last 12 months.
Okay. I won't disagree. I won't disagree. I'm not saying this person's name, but somebody does in this site thinks that Kyler Murray is better than Baker Mayfield. I'm just saying that. I don't know if I agree with that one, but it's on the fence. All right. Next up, Trevor Lawrence.
Three.
That's a good pick. I was surprised that you're going to go also with that. Next up, Kirk Cousins.
That's terrible.
It's terrible that he has to save a spot for Deshaun.
Yeah, like that's exactly what I'm. It's. Well, but honestly, Kirk is better than Baker and Trevor Lawrence, based on his resiliency to go to a couple of he played on the Washington Redskin Potatoes and then managed to flip that into a contract on another team where they wanted him bad enough to pay him money. Fully guaranteed money. So, and then they kept him after he like went full blown white guy with the chains on the internet. So
first of
and
all,
not only and
we love Kirk O'Chains.
Like he ended up signing in Atlanta after that. Like that's how much they love it. So
I think they signed him in Atlanta because he put the chains on.
That's what I mean. Like he can. That's what the Atlanta Falcons want.
Yep.
As the, you know what I mean. Like the fans are gonna get around that cheapest concessions in the league. By the way. Anyway,
nice stadium too. Where do you got him then?
Back to the topics. Two. He's two.
You had two. Okay. Next one. Sorry, as I almost hiccup on air. The next one. You got to be careful with this one. Matthew Stafford.
Honestly, I would put on the list so far
there's Stafford. One and five left.
Yeah, I know. But Stafford's the only one that's won a Super Bowl.
There it is. Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
And the it's not often when the fans in your former city still love you. So I will put on this list, as of right now, 4 out of 5, I will give him number one.
Matthew Stafford, number one. That puts your number 5. Here, you might not like it. Dak Prescott.
No, I'm fine with that. Fuck Dak. Fuck the Cowboys.
So you have right. Matthew Stafford, one.
There's at least Cousins one to show two. Where somebody gets the fuck Cowboys, and that was right on time.
Matthew Stafford, one. Kirk Cousins, 2. Trevor Lawrence, 3. Baker Mayfield, 4 and 5.
There's only Dak one Prescott. Difference between Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, and it's a criminal record.
Nah, I disagree. You'd look at Dak's regular season numbers, and they're right up there next to Patty Mahomes. Just saying.
Yeah, well, guess what? Yeah, and what's the regular season done for Dave and I's favorite hockey team? The same thing it's done for the Dallas Cowboys.
Once the Cowboys, there you go.
Once Cowboys fans realize that that's a business and not a sports team, the world will be a lot better place.
The Maple Leafs are the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL.
It's, yeah, 100%.
Yep. Yep, I actually said that to my wife while we were on the couch, and she had a pretty. She's like, "Why?" And I said, "Because they can't get out of the first round," and she left. So just chirp ourselves and have a lot of fun.
I'm the fan of a business.
That is so. Now I'm going to do a quick little twist because we got to go. I want to keep this under the hour, so we only have 5 minutes left. Like I said,
sure.
I am going to do a 3-blind ranking, 3 players, but you two are together.
Okay, let's go.
You have to decide. All right. And we're going to keep it the same.
Chop, chop. There's Sparky.
We're going to go with quarterbacks. We're going to keep it with quarterbacks, okay?
Okay.
First one, Justin Herbert.
Ooh, if you're going to make him go 3, I got to put him at 2 or 3.
I would say 2.
Okay, we'll go with 2.
You're going with 2. All right, next up, Josh Allen.
I'm comfortable going him 1. However, there are others better than him.
Talented and an arm.
Can run.
Faster and better on his feet than Herbert.
Mm-hmm. The only issue with him is he, you know, can't, you know, go 2-3 games in a row without a turnover.
Or be accurate.
I'm fine with him at 1. I don't want to put him at 3, so I'll take 1.
Yeah, 3.
And I'm praying that number 3 is Deshaun Watson.
I was thinking that it was going to be, but it's not. I thought that'd be hilarious to do. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make it Joe Flacco.
Number 3. That works.
Joe Flacco. That was going to be
if it was my 1, 2, 3, he'd be number 1 and the Browns starter.
Joe Flacco, number 3.
Joe Flacco, though, like, it's funny because, like, what he did for that, but he is, like, the most prototypical Baltimore Ravens quarterback. Him and then what? Trent Dilfer?
It's good. Oh,
like, briefly, Kyle Bowler for a point in time, if I'm doing a deep dive.
Bowler was pretty rough, though.
Oh, he had Todd Heap, though. Todd Heap was like Mark Andrews before Mark Andrews was cool.
Didn't they have Jamal Lewis when he was nasty back then, too?
Yeah, like, he had a pretty... And I think Derek Mason for a brief period. Or was Derek Mason there when Steve McNair was there?
That might have been Aaron McNair.
Yeah.
Don't quote me. I'm not huge on my ratings.
Yeah, I'm not... Like, we're
as you said about your affinity to the Cowboys... Fuck the Ravens.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally understand that.
So that one I made easy because I felt we had limited time, so I wasn't going to make a 5 or anything harder. I did make 3 easy. I did have originally Deshaun Watson down, but given that I thought you would react very...
There's a bias. There's
a little bit of a bias, so I kept it and went to Joe Flacco. That was.
I had bias there too. He's better than Watson.
So you had Allen, Herbert, and Flacco, 1, 2, and 3 together. So as weeks go on, we'll do things separate. And then we'll do it together.
That was a pretty weak number 3, though, Dave.
It was. I kept it simple. So next week, we'll do the same thing with you two. But then after going forward, we're going to let Heichel ask us questions. And then EJ in each week will rotate after next week. Next week will be a bit more serious, dive into it a little harder, a little more challenging. But after that, we'll rotate on who's going to ask the questions. We'll have some fun.
I'm telling you for free, I'm going offensive lineman on one of them. So
holy shit, I have no
Joe idea. Thomas, number 1 overall.
Don't go to me. Put me there. I put yeah, no. Love it. Okay, fellas, that has been In the Pocket presented powered, I don't want to say presented, powered by 91 Network. And of course, the Game Sports Podcast is the name of our podcast. Make sure you hit like, follow, and subscribe on all of the platforms of the game. Justin, thank you for joining me and EJ and every week and all that you do for the show. And that was fun with all this chatter after week one.
Yeah, I like this this blind ranking thing. I think this is going to be fun. We're going to get a little silly with this throughout the year.
It's going to get good. And it's great for clips. EJ, thank you for coming on the show, as always, every week. Next week, we're recording on Tuesday. So what does that mean for listeners? Doesn't mean anything. It's still going to be uploaded. But guess what? It's going to be uploaded on time, which is funny for us. But EJ, thank you, my friend, as always.
Thank you. Happy to be here. It'll probably be, if we do record next Tuesday, the only reason I'm saying if is because we are notorious for being off schedule. It'll be the first time we actually did something on schedule, so good for us.
Love that. And the hour mark has hit, and we're hitting the sign-off. Time management is good today. I want to say thank you to all the viewers and listeners for taking the time to join us here on the game for a full hour of talking football. And as mentioned, we aren't getting into anything else for this show. But again, I want to make sure to give a little bit of love again to Matthew James, friend, and also local musician here in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And to Brad Jacobs again for Team Jacobs Game Put Back Up. So there's another little thing. And of course, football's back. What a great week one. And we hope that you enjoyed the full hour of talk for football, because it is a little break to just talk the one sport for an episode and take a break about the other sports, because there is one sport around the corner that's going to break both Justin and I's hearts this year. Didn't say the title. EJ's the curling one that said season. The thing first. Curling season. Yeah. Love that. As Justin shows the hat.
In every show. Season's going to break our heart.
I'm going to say that I love your background every show. It's fantastic. Justin's background is fantastic.
Oh, I'll forget the picture of my stepdaughter in the background, you piece of shit.
Yeah, Dave.
Forgot to put your trophy up there today.
I noticed that, by the way, and that's because it's my trophy. It should be in the mail and on its way here.
It's stuck in customs.
And I hope everyone enjoys their week, okay? I'm going to remind you, keep your sticks on the ice, swing your bats, catch a touchdown, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.
Choo!